You're about to get a phone call that changes your life. You are told your teenage daughter has been kidnapped, and the only way to secure her release is to first pay a ransom and secondly to kidnap another child, thus ensuring the chain of kidnappings continues. That's the dastardly concept behind The Chain, a thriller by the writer Adrian McKinty, an author who we sometimes like to claim as our own here in Australia, despite him being born in Northern Ireland and now being based in America. Adrian, welcome.
Hey, it's good to be here. And you know, I'm an Aussie citizen, so you can claim me. I'm claiming me as an Aussie.
Fantastic. And you've worked at publications around Australia. You've written for Australia.
Yeah, I've written for the Sydney Morning Herald for about 10 years and the Weekend Australian for about the same amount of time, and lived in glorious St Kilda for about a decade as well.
Oh, fantastic. Well, we're pleased to claim you then. How did my summary go? Can you give me some more detail on how this chain works, Adrian?
Well, it's a diabolical kidnapping scheme. The idea is that, my protagonist is this woman called Rachel, and she's driving into Boston for an oncology appointment, a routine oncology appointment. And this frantic woman calls her up and says, "Rachel, I'm so sorry to have to tell you this, but I've kidnapped your daughter." And Rachel doesn't believe it. And then she sees a picture on her phone. And then the woman tells her that she's now part of this diabolical, evil kidnapping scheme where she has to pay a ransom and she has to kidnap someone to take her daughter's place on the chain. And only when she does that will her daughter be released. And then the chain goes on forever, where each person gets replaced by another, and the evil people behind it are just getting richer and richer. And if you break any of the rules, if you go to the police, if you go to the media or anything, then the orders are that the person holding your child has been instructed to kill that child and then just kidnap someone else.
As you say, it's a diabolical scheme. And I worry a bit, Adrian, because you came up with this idea. What does this say about you?
Oh my God. I'm being in therapy for years afterwards, probably. No, for me, there was a couple of different elements that were bubbling away in my brain and my subconscious. One of the things that I remember from growing up in the 70s, it's probably before your time, were these chain letters that we used to get.
Yeah, I remember
them. And they were passed around, and what they said was that if you didn't make three copies and send them off to three of your best friends, then terrible things would happen to your family. So, you know, they say things like your mum will die within a week or something. And in Ireland, we were really, really superstitious. And it was all covered with runes and weird symbols, so we believed all that stuff. And so no one ever broke the chain. Everyone always copied them and sent them off. And then one day my P4 teacher, Mrs. Carlisle, heard about how terrorized we were by all these chain letters. And she said, "Bring them all to me." And we brought them all to her, and she took them all outside and burned them in a big bonfire. And I was just so impressed that here was this woman who was breaking the chain and bringing all this bad luck upon herself. And for like the next 30 years, every time I was back home in Ireland, I always said to my mum, "And how's Mrs. Carlisle doing, by the way?" expecting some terrible disaster had befallen her from like out of the omen or something, some freak accident. But in fact, she's 88 years old and in rude good health and doing completely fine. So there was that element, this idea of the chain letters and the terrible consequences. And then I was in Mexico City a few years ago working on a different book, and I read in the paper about this notion of exchange kidnappings. And this was the idea that someone has kidnapped a family member of yours, and maybe it's your grandmother, and you swap yourself for the more vulnerable member of your family while the rest of the family raises the ransom payment. And so I started thinking, well, what if I put those two things together, this exchange kidnapping idea and this idea of the chain letters, and then this idea of a hero, this gallant woman who will try and break the chain.
And this started as a short story, right?
Yeah. It was one of those ideas. You get a lot of ideas where I started writing it as a short story. God, it must have been about 6 years ago now. And I got about 6 pages in and I knew that it wasn't really working because I'd started in the middle and I knew that I would have to redraft it and work on it more to make it a short story. And in the back of my mind, I thought, well, maybe it could be a novel. And both of those seemed like a lot of work. So I just left it in the drawer for 6 years and did nothing with it.
So, as you said, in your book, Rachel Klein is this single mum. She gets the call from the stranger that her 13-year-old daughter Kylie has been kidnapped. How does she respond? Because it's pretty quick. She's like, right, I'm going to pay the ransom. I'm going to go get a gun. I'm going to do this.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought to myself, you know, there'll be the initial terror where you're frozen into the seat in just horror. But then you think to yourself, well, my God, every second that I'm just sitting here doing nothing by the side of the road while the cars are driving past is another second that my daughter's in hell. And I'm going to do everything in my power to get my daughter back, just as far as I can go, everything that I can do. And so she just begins doing the process. And for me, that was actually the easiest part of the book to write because it was all so logical. Like, you know, if you were going to do this, what would you have to do? Well, you'd have to go to the bank. You'd have to, you know, try and get like a lot of money withdrawn from the bank. You'd have to do this, you know, all the logical steps, were actually, I thought, well, this is the easy part of the book because this is all the stuff that every single person would have to do. I mean, I was a little bit, you know, I loved the movie Ransom and I loved the movie Taken. But the problem with Ransom was that Mel Gibson was a millionaire with a lot of resources at his disposal. And in Taken, if you remember, Liam Neeson had a special set of skills. And so I wanted an ordinary person with not much money and no special skills and to see how they would react in these circumstances. And so that's why I tried to make her just an ordinary working mum, just trying her best to get through in the world and to see how she would respond.
But this ordinary mum quickly goes into a mindset of, I'm going to kidnap another child, and if that child has to die to save my child, or if I have to kill this child to save my own, I will do that. And that's a really interesting ethical dilemma.
Yeah, my God. I mean, I studied moral philosophy at university and I wanted to go a little bit into the moral philosophy universe and have the readers at least think about this, you know, have a think, how far would you go to protect one of your family members, especially if it was your child? And I think the answer is that most people would go pretty far. And then you have to think to yourself, well, in every ethical and moral system that I know of, in utilitarianism or in Kantian deontology or in Christian ethics or in Buddhist ethics, every ethical system, this violates all the principles of what you're not supposed to do. And so I knew that it was going to be very tough for me as an author to try and keep the readers on board knowing that Rachel was going to have to do some terrible things, or at least attempt to do some terrible things. But hopefully I would write her and she would live in such a way as that you would understand every decision that she makes.
Adrian, your previous books have been set in Belfast in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. In this book, you shift to America. I know you're living there now, but why set this book in the US?
I had this landscape that my wife is from Boston, Massachusetts, and we'd spent the summers up in this really interesting swampy landscape called Plum Island. And it was all these like clapboard houses and they're all made of wood and it was kind of swamps around and there were flies around in the summer. And for her, it was just incredibly ordinary, this landscape that she grew up in. But for me, it was really cool. I just liked it. I thought it was so creepy and so New Englandy. And we were only about 10 miles from Salem, Massachusetts. And the writer H.P. Lovecraft set one of his stories there. So I just loved that milieu. It just really appealed to me as a gothic, creepy, interesting place to set a novel. And it's like anywhere, you know, to an outsider, places can be very, very romantic and interesting. And to a local, they're going, what are you talking about? This is, you know, this is where I live. This is where Joe Bloggs lives down the street. But for me, I just thought it was a very exciting and interesting locale.
Is it also a good commercial decision to set fiction in the US?
I think probably it's going to help me because I was writing these books set in Belfast, and the funny thing was when I'd get my royalty statements, I'd sell about 1,000 copies in Belfast, and I'd sell about 300 copies in St. Kilda, where I was living, and nothing anywhere else. In the world, nobody else was interested. My friends and family in St. Kilda were buying the books, and my friends and family in Belfast were buying the books, and nobody else was. So, you know, I think it's probably a good idea if you're a crime writer, maybe set your books in a location which is a bit more accessible. And America is quite accessible for most people because you've seen American TV shows and films. And England, of course, is very accessible if you're going to set your, or Scotland. I mean, the lodestone, of course, is Scandinavia. You know, if you can set your book in Denmark, you'll be a bestseller, no matter how good it is. But I couldn't bluff Denmark because I've never been there.
That's a challenge for the future. I mean, I have I have spoken to quite a few Australian novelists now who have made this move to writing crime fiction in the US. And it seems like it has paid off for you already, right? Because you've sold the screen rights to this, which is amazing.
Yeah, the screen rights have been optioned. But you're right about that. I don't know if you talked to Candace Fox and other Aussie writers, and you know, there's just this resistance outside of Australia to getting books made in Australia. But I think that's going to change when Jane Harper's The Dry becomes a film, which it is becoming a film, and people realize the depth of talent in the Australian crime fiction community. It's extraordinarily deep and wide. I think Australia will become more popular as a. I think in a few years, Australia will be the Norway, the Iceland, the Sweden, because the Australian landscape is just so huge and interesting in so many different climate zones and so many different people. And I'm desperate to set a book in Australia. You know, I really am. I would love to. I've got my eye on one or two places in and around South Melbourne that I think would be fantastic in a crime novel.
That sounds really good. Let's talk briefly about this film deal.
Sure.
Did you see this book as a film as you were writing it?
No, not at all. I didn't, and especially because it's the book is set in two parts. I could never conceive how anybody could turn that into a film. But obviously, the guys that optioned it did. And I don't really have anything to do with it. I just hope that they film it where I set it, because that would be so cool to see a film set in that landscape. And I hope they don't mess too much with the ending, because I really kind of like the way everything played out in the end. But we'll see.
And for a man who was selling about 1,600 copies of his old books, I mean, what does this mean to crack this film market? This has got to be good news for a writer,
well,
right?
If the film actually, you know, I'm touching wood as I'm speaking to you, but if the film actually happens and it raises my profile and, oh gosh, and if people go back and suddenly, hey, this isn't the guy's first book. He's got like 7 or 8 as well. And they go back and discover my other books, I would be so happy. That would just be awesome.
Oh, well, I wish you all the luck in the world. Adrian, it's been really fun to talk to you today.
It was brilliant talking to you, Claire.
The Chain is published by Hachette, and I'm not going to lie, it gave me some very creepy dreams this week. This is The Book Show, and I am your slightly wussy host, Claire Nichols.